All right. How we doing, everyone? We're back again on a frigid Thursday night in November. This is Flesh hosting the NBA Boys podcast, coming to you live with our second episode of year two. Super excited to kick things off tonight. I've got two awesome guests that are, I've actually task them with a little bit of homework. They've come prepared this time with some segments. We're going to be trying some new things out, taking turns. We've all got something planned. Should be a great episode. So without further ado, we've got Benny Levinson and Garrett Palmieri in the house. What's going on, guys?
Howdy.
Hey, Fletch. Happy to be here.
glad to hear it. As you might have noticed, the sound quality might be a little bit better tonight. I went to my wallet, went on Amazon, found a microphone, $30, best investment I've ever had. And it showed up on my doorstep the next day. So we're trying it out tonight for the first time. Hopefully this helps a little bit on the earbuds. And it's another improvement. Little by little, we're taking steps up in the podcast world. So super excited for the episode tonight. We've got a lot prepared. I want to kick it off talking to each of you guys about your team so far. Garrett, let's start with you. I know so far this season hasn't quite been what you've hoped, but give me the scoop. What's it look like under the hood?
Hey, Fletch. So yeah, definitely not what I was hoping for in the beginning. I will say draft day, that was kind of tough because it seemed like 35% of the league had like some type of out status, whether they were actually out or not. Cause for instance, Steph Curry was listed as out, and then Caris LeVert was also listed as out, but only one of them ended up being on the IR. So it's like, that tripped me up from the first minute. But I drafted a team thinking that I was going to get incredible field goal percentage, good rebounds, and probably a fair amount of blocks. And, was kind of hoping for some points, with the amount of big men and Steph Curry. Just hasn't worked out that way yet. Kind of low on rebounds. My field goal percentage is up there, and I have I think it's like 40 less turnovers or something like that. It's like something crazy to the next guy. So I have a couple strengths, but overall the team just isn't there yet. We have a long season ahead of us. Caris LeVert is finally back in the mix. And then, hopefully some of the pickups that I've had so far can start doing work, or I'm going to have to start, rotating them out and then hitting up that waiver wire.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree with that. I think Garrett's team is trash. Sorry, Fletch, continue.
No, I mean, you brought up a great point with draft day and having the out symbol on like almost every player. I don't know what was up with that this year. Everyone sat for the third game of the preseason and then the system counted as an out. I wasn't a fan at all. Like, Benny, did you feel the same way?
Just director's note too. If there's a pause, it's because I'm eating a burrito. I did agree. It was super annoying. And I think just in general, because of that, like, it was hard to know, at a moment's notice who was actually out and who wasn't. So for example, I forgot Jonathan Isaac got hurt last year, or I don't even think it was last year. I'm pretty sure it was in the bubble. And then he didn't play. And I assumed he would play, and I saw the out. I'm like, oh, they're just taking it easy. Well, it turns out he's going to be out for at least a few weeks here. So I think that definitely affected my draft strategy too.
Yeah. And then like in times of need, the person before you picks a player that you were eyeing, and it's like, oh shit, where am I going next? And then, you see out, oh, it's probably fine. Like Benny said, he's probably going to play. They're just taking it easy for the last preseason game. And then, I had something similar with both Wiseman and Hachimura. It was like, I was expecting them to be able to play. And then Hachimura just sat out. He's just sitting out because he hasn't conditioned in a while. So it's like, last minute picks could have been hindered by this.
Definitely. Definitely. And we don't get enough time on the clock to go through and read all these players' updated news. Like some players you will, I think in a situation like Jonathan Isaac, where you know that he was hurt last year, like maybe you would have given it a second look, but like totally understand if you didn't and thought, hey, you know, it's just out because everyone else is out. So right off the bat, it definitely makes things difficult in the draft room when it's a high stress environment already. But bringing it back to Garrett, some players on your team that have been, you know, gone well, they were good picks. Even though their record really hasn't showed it so far for you, you do have some players that I think have had a great start to the year. So give me your top three right now.
Top three. So, you know, right off the bat, Steph Curry opened the season with a triple double. He hasn't been great field goal percentage wise, but I'm pretty confident that will go up. And overall, yeah, he's just been kind of, you know, he's been giving me assists, been giving me threes, been giving me free throw percentage. So, you know, can't stop loving Steph Curry. Second, I would probably say, and let me just verify before. Yeah, Christian Wood. Christian Wood, I was going to say next. You know, he's been giving me 20 points a game, 12 boards a game, dropping a couple threes a game. He's, you know, I remember a lot of people talking about him last year being a desirable guy. I was super confident when I picked him this year. Just a overall top performer for the team. And then honestly, I'm going to reach a little bit of my third on somebody that I picked up, Andre Drummond. He was, you know, he started off, he was averaging, you know, it's gone down a little bit, but he was, you know, averaging between 9 and 11 boards so far this year. And that was, you know, I centered my team kind of around big men. I tried to get a lot of, you know, centers and power forwards. Hopefully that pays off later and boards will pick up. But he was, you know, I think he was a good pickup. I felt good about that one.
Yeah. I like the Drummond pick actually. He's got some good 12 team value right now. It's a tough situation being in Philly. You're going to be playing behind Joel Embiid and the minutes aren't always there on a nightly basis, but on the nights that he does play, the opportunity to have a very high ceiling is there. I mean, you saw it the other night against Portland. Looking at the stats now, he had 34 minutes because Embiid was out. He had 14 points, 15 boards, 7 assists, 5 steals, and a block. I mean, if you could, if there's a way, maybe Embiid falls near, like later down the road and is injured for a while, Drummond's going to fill a huge, huge role. So I totally like, with minutes being so valuable right now, especially in the beginning, I would continue to hold on to Drummond, even though he doesn't have that starting spot.
Right.
I also like DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan's been going off right now. Who would have saw that coming?
I saw it coming, obviously, Fletcher. Come on. but no, I agree. And like, he's getting a crazy amount of minutes. You know, he's usually above 5 boards. And, you know, averaging like 31 points in the last 7 days.
Yeah.
Can't really ask much more of a player.
Yeah. Especially an aging veteran like that coming into a team where you don't really know how they were going to work. There's so many new pieces. It was hard to draft them because you didn't know what the situation was, but DeMar DeRozan has turned out really, really well. Benny, to get you into the mix here, before we head over to your team, give me a critique about Schroeder's cat so far.
I can't wait to hear this.
You know,
I'm pulling up the receipts.
I'm pulling up the team right now. Give me a second. I mean, like I said, it means 0-1-1, so that already speaks for itself, right? But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the worst team in the world. I think there probably are worse teams. I just think, you know, there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to say no names, but a lot of guys that, you know, don't bring a lot of acclaim, you know, like Marvin Bagley, Dennis Schroeder has been Garbo. Isaiah Stewart gets rebounds, but he doesn't really do anything else. Duncan Robinson is meh, you know, so if there's just a lot of guys on there that are just like, eh. And I know he's got some injuries. He's got with Wiseman and Hachimura. So hopefully those guys will, you know, contribute. But, you know, just a little few too many meh guys, I think. you know, without the opportunity to pop. I mean, Schroeder could pop, I guess, but, you know, Bagley doesn't get any minutes. And so, you know, Joe Harris kind of just gets you like 12 points, 13 points. I had him last year. He's a good guy, good player, but, you know, gets three pointers too. And besides that, that's more or less it. So I think he just, you know, it's not like it's bad. I just think there's a little too many guys that, you know, don't have that ability to pop, which is really important for fantasy basketball. So
yeah, especially in a category league too, you don't want to be pigeonholed with players. Joe Harris, I think, is a great example of it. He is going to start, play 30 minutes a night in Brooklyn. He'll get you threes. He'll get you points. He'll have a night where he gets 18. He'll have nights where he gets 7. But he doesn't really get any of the counting stats in the middle. He averages less than an assist per game, less than a steal, and less than one block. So that's three categories with one player that, you know, if you pick someone off the waiver wire that wasn't as efficient in threes that had those other stats, it would even it out. But yeah, so moving right along then, let's talk about Benny and your team, keeping the name the same, the Hebrew Hammer this year. Give me the review, Benny. How's it look?
You know, I'm actually kind of disappointed with my team. I think I took a lot of chances, you know, because, you know, I've had a good pedigree with that in the past of picking guys that I think are going to have that pop that don't, you know, either don't have that name yet or, you know, we're kind of waiting on them for that to happen. And I guess the problem with my team so far is that that hasn't happened. To give some examples, there's just too many. There's Jaren Jackson Jr., who I still have faith in, and he had a great game last game. But, you know, he's really got to – when I picked him, he's got to be consistently good. He's got to get me threes. His rebounds have always sucked. He needs to pick that up. He needs to be averaging way more points. Ja can't be doing everything there. So, you know, waiting for him to pop. Colin Sexton has had a really weak start. You know, and he's another guy. He averaged 25 last year. So I thought it would be relatively safe. You know, they added a big guy. They didn't really add, you know, they lost Larry Nance. They lost a few guys that got minutes. So I assumed that, you know, his minutes would stay the same and he'd perform at that same level. He is not. De'Aaron Fox, who was my second pick, very similar. You know, and he's at the year, I think he's 23, where he should be, you know, popping. Like, this is the year where he's got to take that leap. I kind of thought that would happen. I kind of had faith in the Kings. I thought he'd get assists. They kind of have a solid team built around him. That has also not yet happened. So, you know, I just, there's too many of those guys that I took chances on. Jonathan Isaac, I took way too high considering he's not playing. Had he been playing, I got him at 71. I thought that would have been a good pick. He wouldn't have been like a 90th, 100th overall pick considering the fact that he's not going to play there's no update. So, you know, I did make some good picks. I already made some good pickups. You know, Luka's been weak so far too, so I'm not that worried about my team. LeBron, you know, was a questionable pick where I got him at 26 now because he's going to miss his third game of the season already. So that doesn't bode well either. So, you know, a lot of solid picks too, but, you know, you really got to nail a few of them to win. So I really need Luka to be an MVP. I need LeBron to play games. I need De'Aaron to play well. I need Colin Sexton to play well. And if that doesn't happen, I'm not going to win. Normally, I'm irrationally confident coming into fantasy. I would say I'm rationally confident this year. So,
I like it. Rationally confident. Last year,
you were rationally. What does that even mean? Rationally confident.
Well, you know, rationally confident is that, like, you know, I think my team, you know, could be good. But like, I don't necessarily like expect it to. I'm not like 100% sure. Last year, I was like, oh, my team's nice. And it was pretty good. But, you know, I didn't win anything. So and then this year, I just don't think I drafted as good of a team. So.
Yeah.
So you're thinking maybe not to the moon, but you might be able to, you know, fly a plane or something like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think we can expect a playoff appearance. I don't know about any more than that. I wouldn't expect, you know, for me to dominate. So what are your thoughts? You guys think my team is Garbo?
I'm right there with you, Benny. I think you got a lot of players that, like, you're just waiting to hit their full potential. I was very high on Colin Sexton going into the draft. I'm surprised that he's come out with a slow start. Luka, I think, yes, he's got definitely a slow start, and it's tough to see him play this way and not have that field goal percentage like he usually does.
You have to think, though, he's going to turn that back up.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Luka playing like this for long.
Right. I did think you picked him a little high with the number two overall pick at that spot. I probably would have taken Steph or.
Ooh.
Wow.
But
still, I disagree.
He's a high first round pick. He's a high first round pick.
I should have taken Giannis if I were to do the draft over.
Yeah. Giannis, I feel like, slipped a little bit too far. Yeah. De'Aaron Fox is a guy that has had a really slow start. And this is the year where you're like, why? Like, why not? Why are you this bad? LeBron not playing that many games. I think it's finally time where he's taking the nights off that we expected him to for the past few seasons. You expected him to play 60-ish games, and he's done a good job of playing the majority or more than that. And this is finally a year where I think it's starting to slow down. But I mean, at 26, I don't hate it. He's the 7th ranked in his position right now. And I think it'll go up.
My issue with it is that, you know, I think at value wise, if he does play that amount of games, you know, it is good. The issue with, you know, I guess ESPN's platform, and I think they're all like this, is that they just don't update, you know, in time quite often. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm hearing that, you know, today, for example, at least he got the out symbol and I was able to replace him earlier in the day. A lot of the times it either says day to day and you can't do it, or they wait till like 7:15. And at that point, you know, I've got stuff going on, so I'm not looking at fantasy. So, you know, you get those dead games, and those really hurt in these matchups because they're only 1 week. So you miss a game from LeBron or that and just have an empty spot. That's huge.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't agree more on that. That happened to me with Caris LeVert when the first game he came back. You would expect like somebody on your IR, when you have someone on your IR that isn't supposed to be there, that ESPN would send you an alert, be like, hey, your roster is invalid or something like that. But nothing. And then like same thing day of, like, is he going to play? And he still has the out symbol. It's not even day to day. So it was like, I feel you on that, Benny. I'm so not a fan of ESPN's platform, besides the fact that their mobile app sucks too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to keep up with for sure. Especially we're in the thick of football, fantasy football mm-hmm. season as well, where they've got, you know, one game a week. You know what time it is. It's the 1 o'clock, the 4 o'clock, or the 8 o'clock time slot. And that's it. Like, you know, well in advance if a guy's going to play or not. With the NBA, they play every other night. And sometimes they're at 7, sometimes they're at 10. You can't keep up with everybody all at once. And it can definitely make it tough. So swinging back over to Garrett, give me your take on Benny's team. What would you critique?
Thank God you asked. I'll probably make fun of Benny all season for drafting LeBron. We were all stumped that he went that far, but still at the same time, nobody wanted to touch him. I think he probably plays less than 60 games. That's my prediction. And at that point, is he worth it? Yeah. Who knows? You know, right now he, what is it? He's averaging when he plays, you know, five and a half boards and 25 points. That's good. Not a lot of steals. His assists are good. I mean, he's LeBron. He's going to put up good stats when he's in, but like what if he misses 3 games in a row in a single week and it's a crucial week?
Right.
Yeah. You know, and granted, he probably doesn't play. Even if he was in, you know, you have a lot of other big names, you know, ones that you said you were disappointed in, Benny, Colin and De'Aaron. I had both of them last year and I know the struggles with that because last year they were not consistent. And they'd have games in the same week where they'll have like 8 turnovers. And it's like, why are they even still playing? I'd rather them take them out. So those would be my critiques, mainly LeBron, only because it's Benny. And I don't think he's going to be, I mean, like, he's old, he's injury prone. And yeah, other than that, I kind of like Benny's team. I think there's a lot of, like, contrary to my team, like, still De'Aaron has that upside. Where like he can go off, and same thing with Colin Sexland, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Benny, Benny, you're welcome. What picks did you do well on? What picks have you hit so far?
That's a good question. I might be zero.
Apparently not Luca.
My best transaction, I think, could be Jamal Murray picking him up, because that's quite the player to have off the bench. If he comes back in like January, that'd be huge. But Harrison Barnes has played very well, but I mean, he's going to return to the mean at some point. He's not at playing as he's not this good. To be honest, I really don't think I did hit on a pick. So that's why I'm not, you know, very confident about my team. You know, some guys are like, okay, Nurkic was okay. Jalen Green, where I got him, is probably going to be okay. Same with Eric Bledsoe. I think, you know, he's getting these steals and assists. So that's an okay pick, but I didn't hit a home run, and that's pretty essential to being good for fantasy. So.
Yeah. It's tough when you don't have those home run picks to start you off and begin the year. You have to rely on the waiver wire or maybe make a trade or two. It can be a tough hole to claw yourself out of, but honestly, I think you've got some players to do it. Sexton, still think he's going to turn around. De'Aaron Fox, I think, is going to turn around. Luka's obviously going to play better. And Jaren Jackson, I'm just glad that dude's playing minutes and getting on the court. We haven't seen him play in like 3 years. But moving right along, let's go into some segments. So, Benny, let's start with you. Go for it. Your show.
So Fletcher Reese tasked me with creating a list of sleepers. And I did this probably 3 days after the season started. So I have an amended list too, of just breakout players, more or less. But my preseason list is, and I'll give my reasons, are Jordan Poole. Honestly, I just listened to some NBA podcasts and they were hyping him up. He was pretty good at the tail end of last season. They need some offensive kick because they don't have Clay, of course. And, you know, the rest of that team, you know, they need that extra, you know, offense and shooting. And he's the guy to fill it. And so far that's been the case. You know, so I think a lot of people had him, you know, playing well, and he is so far. Mo Bamba is another guy. This is another podcast special. This is I listened to The Mismatch, which is Kevin O'Connor and Chris Vernon from The Ringer. And
thank God you're getting your reference.
Yeah, so they're big fans. And you know, he's just tall and athletic, and he can shoot threes. And if you've got that body and you have that talent, then you know it could pay off. He can pass a little too. The Magic are not good. He should be getting minutes. They traded away, you know, guys that were taking some of his minutes. It's just him and Wendell Carter. So he's got that opportunity. And I think a lot of this is about opportunity. A lot of these guys, it's, you know, the fact that you have that, you know, role to fill, either someone left or, you know, it's time for you to take that jump. That went to a lot of my reasoning for some of these guys. Tyler Hero, you know, he, you know, had that fire run in the bubble, and then he had an okay season last year and people were disappointed, but he's still super young. I think he's 21. So, and you know, they kind of were hyping him up, you know, before the draft. I mean, not before the draft, before the season, and saying, oh, he's putting on weight and all this, and he looks great. And, you know, I saw that stuff and heard about it. And, you know, it just was natural again for him to take that leap. It's that third year, typically guys do it. And, you know, he has so far, he's looked fantastic. I wish I could have gotten him in the draft. And you know, the Heat in general are killing it. So the next one I have is Kyle Kuzma. This is kind of a homer pick because I have him, but also just because I think they have that opportunity there. The Wizards don't have that many like players that can score like that besides Beal. So so far he's averaging 15 and 10 rebounds, which is nice, which is not something he's done in the past. So it's just another
Kyle Kuzma. He's future MVP Kyle Kuzma.
Exactly. Lakers third star Kyle Kuzma. I have a lot of faith in him. DeAndre Hunter, who somewhat, Fletch, did you just drop him?
Yeah, he's garbage.
Listen, so
garbage.
He's garbage.
Listen, he was great for me last year when I had him. He's known as a defensive guy, but he looked great offensively last year. I think that qualm that you probably have with him in fantasy, and at least so far this season has held true, is that he's really just scores. But last year, he had some assists, had some rebounds, averaged about 17 before he got hurt. So, you know, preseason, I really thought, you know, that he could step up. And he actually had a great game last game. And currently, he's having a good game. So he's on the way up. Stock is up. So, you know, I see you making a face, Fletch, but I have faith.
Last night, he did have a great game. 26 points, but he had 2 rebounds, no assists, a steal, and a block. Steal the block are good, but that's not what he averages. And he doesn't get anything else. He'll score, but that's it.
We'll see. We'll see. I think it's his third year, and that's the breakout year. So, and the Hawks have a lot of momentum, and he didn't get to play in the playoffs last year. He's got a lot to prove. So, that was my justification for him.
That's fair. He could turn around. There's a lot of room to improve with a young guy like that.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me happier that Fletch dropped your one of your sleeper picks.
That's what this is for. I want you should disagree. Draymond Green is my next one. I had him last year. He was great last year. I picked him, I think, 70th. He was like a top 40 fantasy player. He gets rebounds. He gets assists. He gets blocks. He gets steals. He does not get points. That is the problem with him. But I think this year he's shooting 60% from three. That's really what he had to improve at, because he just needs to stand there and get past two. So it was only natural for him to play a little better this year, especially considering the fact that they actually have something to play for if Klay comes back. I think if Klay comes back and he's 70% Klay from before, I think they, have a chance to win it all. I don't think there's a team besides the Nets. I really don't think that there's a team that's like way, way better than them if Klay is that good. I don't know what you guys' thoughts on that are.
Is this Nets with or without Kyrie?
I guess it's without, because he's anti-vax. So, and I don't, doesn't seem like that's going to shift. It might shift by April, but so we'll go without Kyrie. I still think they're better, but
I still, I think the Warriors.
Yeah, I agree.
Play back, yeah.
Yeah.
If they get Klay back, yeah.
Yeah. So
Nets haven't even been that good this year.
No, they've been
So you said no team other. You were just giving the Heat a lot of praise. You don't put them in that category.
That's a good question. What do you think?
I think they have a lot of firepower. I mean, like, they have Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo. I mean, like, they have a lot of guys who are their dogs. Like, they just want to get down, get dirty, and play basketball. Like, I feel like they just have that fucking mean dog attitude.
Yeah.
I agree. Their top, like, seven are really good. I think they were a bit underrated coming into the season. People were like, oh, they'll be, like, sixth, seventh, it's like, or, like, fifth. I don't know. Jimmy Butler is great. Bam, again, another guy that could improve a little bit. He was already good last year. Tyler Hero taking a leap. Kyle Lowry, who is a really good player.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's always talked about as the most underrated guys in the league, and I still think that's true, because he brings a lot, I think, to the locker room, and he, spreads the ball around the court. And, they got Duncan Robinson, one of the best three-point shooters in the league. I think just the problem with them is their depth, but they're super good. So, maybe I would put them on par with the Warriors if, even with Klay healthy. But, that's a good one, Garrett. So, maybe it's Heat, Nets, and the Warriors if Klay's healthy. My next guy is OG Anunoby. Another guy, opportunity. Guys left. No reason he shouldn't break out. He's already good defensively. He's athletic. He has a good shooting stroke. There's just a natural, jump for him. And he's, so far, that's been the case.
The Jedi, he's so good. I had him last year on my team, like, fantastic. And now with even more, like, playing time and usage on that team, he's awesome. You can't ask for anything more than him.
I also have Jaylen Brown. This is my last preseason one. I know he already took a step last year. Why not take another step? The Celtics, need that jolt of offense, and I think he can provide it. I think he's having a solid season so far. I kind of expected, like, sub superstar season from him. Him and Tatum, I think, are going to be really good. If I was a Boston fan, I'd be super happy where my team's at, even though they keep missing out on the playoffs. Those dudes are like 23 and 24, or 24 and 25 or something. Like, you know, I would have so much faith. So that's my preseason picks. You know, and then as the seasons went along here, I think Ja was a natural sleeper. I'm not going to say that I expected to have him play the way he's playing. He's been crazy. I don't know if you've been like, even the highlight reel stuff has been nuts. And he's really leading that team. And I think it's his third year too. So again, that jump is natural for those third year guys. So, and then Miles Bridges, I'll just name these guys because you guys should know. Miles Bridges, Desmond Bane, Rashawn Holmes have all been super good. And I also had maybe Drummond on there, Garrett. So I thought that was a good scoop. You know, Embiid is either not going to get that many minutes some nights. He's assuredly going to miss 10 games as he normally does. And Drummond's, you know, the guy, next guy off the bench. And he's a pretty good player. You know, people hate on him, but, you know, he gets minutes and he does stuff in those minutes fantasy-wise. So.
Yeah, he's efficient with the minutes. That's like the biggest like plus about him. It's like he's getting 9 boards with, I feel like 14, 15 minutes on the floor. You know, so like you said, like the nights that he actually gets the minutes as either a starter or with a bigger role, yeah, sky's kind of the limit with him.
Mm-hmm. Did either of you foresee this Miles Bridges jump happening?
Way. I mean, like, he was good last year, but I didn't think he'd be this good.
He has been ridiculous. I you know, I thought he was a good player. He dunked on people, but I never, you know, saw what he's doing coming.
I feel like his teammate connection with LaMelo Ball probably helps a lot. I mean, look, LaMelo's constantly feeding him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so he's on the break. I mean, he can dribble now too, which is just crazy. I mean, he couldn't do any of that stuff coming out of college. So the fact that he can do that now, he can shoot. I think his efficiency numbers last year were crazy. Like if you look at his stats last year and you like look at now, you're like, you know what? It makes some sense that he's playing this well. Cause he had, I think shot over 50% from the field. He had over 40% 3-point stroke. And I think he shot 87% from the free throw line, which are crazy stats for a guy who's super athletic too. So it, you know, and he was only on like 13 points a game or something. So you expand that out, have him shoot a little bit more. Maybe his efficiency drops, but he gets buckets. He gets more buckets. So
yeah.
Pretty crazy from him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So Garrett, I'm going to kick it over to you now with your segment. I know we're running a little bit of some predictions for this upcoming week and the season as a whole. So your floor, man.
Yeah, definitely excited for my little segment here. You know, halfway through the week with, you know, week 3 predictions. So, you know, first one that I'll go over, me versus Joe. You know, I have my categories that I generally like do pretty well in, you know, being turnovers and field goal percentage, which I have pretty hefty leads on them there. And same thing with boards. You know, I got 35 plus boards over them. I think I take myself in this matchup, you guys, and, you know, feel free to comment if you'd like. But I think that's kind of like a I'm just up in the categories that I'm usually up in. So, you know, moving on.
I was just going to say, I mean, if you know what categories you're good at and the other guy isn't as good, that's all it takes is to win those 5. You don't have to be good at the others. So a lot of the time, my philosophy is I'll punt on a few categories knowing I won't do well just because I know, you know, I'll just dominate the other ones. So
exactly. That was kind of like the mindset I tried to take going into the league, but year 2 of fantasy basketball for myself. So we'll get into more of that later. Next one, you know, Blake Griffin versus Team Henny. You know, Kappa's winning 8-1 right now. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about it later too, but Kappa's one of the top teams in the league so far. And you know, he's, if you look across, you know, he's up over 20 in assists, almost 20 in steals, 10 in blocks, you know, 400s in free throw percentage, and like, you know, a whole point in field goal percentage. I don't see him losing this one. Now I have Shokan.
8-1 is a hard. 8-1 is a hard matchup to overcome. Even though there's a few days left in the week, like at this point, you want it to be close.
Yeah, it's just, I don't think enough of the categories are close.
Yeah. You're seeing a big discrepancy of 3 points, rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. Like that's five right there. That's all you need.
Yeah. So that's a lock in my head, unfortunately. Sorry, Hanya. You know, next one, this is, you know, Shokan's record, I don't think really reflects the fantasy basketball player he is. But a nail biter between Shokuts Inc. and John Castall Don't, you know, heated rivalry from last year. Honestly, it's kind of tough. I think that probably Castaldo and Mark take this away. I think they hold their lead. I think they hold their lead. Just not a lot. I don't have much to more to go off it. Benny, yes.
I have breaking news. I don't breaking know if you news. Guys saw Brett Gardner is no longer going to be a Yankee.
Let's go.
I'm kind of happy go. About that.
Are you kidding?
Kept signing Let's these one-year go. Deals.
Let's go. Also breaking news. Sorry I went quiet there for a few minutes. I actually just signed up for a Zoom subscription because we're running out of time in our meeting. I literally put the credit card in mid-podcast.
I saw the host upgraded. And I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah. Fletch, I will not be Venmoing for that. So.
Oh, no worries. No worries. Like 15 bucks. No problem.
Definitely not.
So not a problem, Benny. If you're not a problem, Benny, once you'll get not a problems for the rest of your life.
But I'm super excited about the Brett Gardner news. I'm so glad we're not going to be just pushing Brett Gardner out on the field every other day again. Like
I didn't understand why they keep doing that.
They keep doing it, just running out the same lineup, same players that are not working. I'm so glad they're not bringing him back.
Well, his like main thing was that he hit like for a solid average and was fast, and that both of those are no longer the case.
So. Yeah, he doesn't hit for average. He hit like 220, and he's not fast. He's just
what happens when you're a backup
outfielder because all of our other outfielders are hurt all the time. Aaron Hicks, what a great acquisition he was.
All right, and that was the Yankees update. Back to you.
That's our Yankees segment. We're going back to NBA boys. Garrett, let's continue on with the next matchup.
All right, next matchup, we have Ian versus Coots. Again, Ian's a top team in the league. Coots, generally a pretty good fantasy player. You know, again, another nail-biter. It's, you know, 5-3-1, 3-5-1. But the categories are kind of close. The problem is, you know, Coots doesn't exactly have a healthy roster, I'm pretty sure. No, sorry, Ian. I think Ian has. Yeah, sorry. Looking at my notes, Ian has a little bit of trouble with health right now, I believe. So I think Coots kind of takes this one.
Ooh, that's a spicy take, sir.
Yeah, spicy take. I've, you know, this is one of, I think, two spicy takes where I say Coots comes back and takes the dub.
Wow,
it's close enough that I think it's doable.
It is. It is really close.
Free throw percentage is right there, and they have a tie in steals.
Three-pointers.
Points aren't too far away.
Yeah.
And three-pointers are tied, you know, or close. Could really go either way.
Yeah.
I have Benny versus JP. I would love to say that I didn't think Benny was going to win. Unfortunately, I do think he's going to win. Again, I think a spicy take if you look at the categories right now. But, you know, I talked a little shit on him, but I do like Colin Sexton. I think, you know, he, like we talked about before, he has that potential to explode. Benny's generally been doing okay so far in categories. So those are my two spicy takes, and then, you know, B Loop versus you, yourself, Fletch.
Can I interject? That.
Sure.
I actually think I'm gonna lose, but thank you for the vote of confidence, Garrett. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. I wanted to throw out two spicy takes. So
okay.
I think you have a potential to take the dub.
Thank you. We'll have to whenever the next pod is, we'll have to review the takes.
Oh yeah.
We'll have to say your record. So
I'm gonna come out 6-0. I promise.
Okay. All right. All right. Sorry.
It's okay. Last matchup: Bilu versus Fletch. Again, 8-1 lead. You're leading by a lot in a couple categories. You know, free throw percentage is a hefty lead. Rebounds is a good lead, and assists you're dominating. So it's like, as long as you can hold the line on the other categories that are a little closer, I don't see you losing. You know, four categories from what you have now.
Yeah. I'd love to have that much positivity, Garrett, but it is very close. I am like whittling my nails down to the buds right here, like doing on them all week watching this. I'm not super hyped about my team right now. I think they're underperforming. Steals are right there, blocks are right there, turnovers are close, points are right there. It could easily be a 5-4 victory by Bilu by the time Sunday rolls around. So it's going to be an interesting matchup, one that I'm definitely going to be watching very, very closely, as I do with all my matchups.
Of course.
But yeah, now moving forward for full season predictions.
Full season predictions. So, you know, similar to the way too early AP top 10, this is my way too early prediction for champion of the league and the worst team of the league. If you click through the categories right now, the category leaders, there's a few names that pop up, you know, extremely often. Ian, Castaldo and Mark, and Kappa. And then, honestly, if you poke around into some other categories that they're not at the top at, you kind of see both of you guys, Benny and Fletch, up there in a couple categories. So you are in the mix. And that's, again, Benny, one of the reasons that I take your team, because you're leading in the categories that you're good at, you are good at. You know, you already said that you go through that mentality. So now getting into the weeds of it, it's funny the way I think about it. Castaldo and Mark already beat Kappa. You know, it's kind of annoying their co-managers having to say both of their names. Like, what is it? Shoku Tsink? I guess it's easy to say Shoku Tsink, but I'm not going to think of it that way every single time. So, fuck you guys for being co-managers.
Well, we all know Castaldo did all the work for that anyway, so. You could just say Castaldo's team.
I guess it's just Castaldo's team. No, Mark is the trade miser. Come on. You know, he does all the trades.
And he talks trash.
But they had already beaten them. Ian, I think, comes out on top probably in more categories from what I was looking at. And, you know, doing some extra research with Fletch before the call started, I think he averages the highest position in the overall categories for the first 2 weeks. So that combined with the inability to give Mark any satisfaction of saying that I think he'll win, Ian is my predicted champion.
Wow. Heard it here first, folks. And yeah, yes. That's correct. We did some great homework before the podcast. I put a ton of work in the spreadsheet. I'm actually going to share my screen with both of you guys now so we can take a look, and I'm going to give you my full recap on what I've got going. Garrett, you've seen this already. Benny, you have not. That's okay. I'm going to explain Fletch, both what I do.
Let me get into my worst team first.
Oh.
And then I think we dive into these stats.
I'm an asshole. Yeah,
don't take my show. Come on. This is my segment, Fletch.
I'm an asshole. Go right ahead, Garrett.
No. I think you guys will like this. Worst team pick, I choose myself. I think Schroeder's cat is not going to do well. Like Benny said, I have a bunch of guys that are meh. I had something similar last year, except I think it's worse this year because I went in thinking I had a strategy and it backfired. I would have been better off, you know, picking guys that I thought had a nicer name to them. So that's where I'm at. And as you know, we'll talk about with Fletch's research, I'm at the bottom of a lot of categories, and like the categories that I'm at the bottom at, it's like ranked between 10th and 12th. So, and I think I have the worst overall average. And you know, this is the beginning of the season. Anything can happen. But from what I'm looking at now and the confidence I have in my team, I think I'm at the bottom.
Yeah, that's a spicy take, Aaron. I'm sorry for stealing your thunder there. I'm glad that you were able to finish up that segment.
I'd like also to comment. Yeah, I guess I was holding back before because I knew he had to say something about my team. Yeah, I mean, there's just, I mean, I kind of said it before, but I just agree with Garrett. There's just too many guys on there that aren't going to get you the stats you need. I think your strategy probably fell apart towards the end. So it's just tough. I mean, who knows though? Also, it could be injuries. There's plenty of guys that could get injured that are on teams right now. That you could pick a guy up that starts averaging a crazy amount of points, a crazy amount of you know, other stats. So, you know, it's not over. That's why you got to pay attention, because there's guys that end up, you know, having an impact and you could pick up mid-year. So, you know, you can pick up two of those guys, suddenly your team's looking all right. And all you have to do is make the playoffs. It's top six. Anything can happen. So
yeah, exactly. And honestly, I think if I had to say, like, I need to improve on one thing as a fantasy basketball manager, is that I'm also at the bottom of number of transactions. You know, I'm not hawking the waiver wire well enough. And, you know, I could say there's a thousand different excuses for that, but if I want to win, that's something that I have to pay attention to.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, moves being made is something that definitely needs to be considered. As you get through a week, what I've done and what I had success with in the past and with other fantasy sports as well, like baseball is a huge one. Having a guy on your team that you're okay being expendable, maybe that 13th guy off your bench that you could literally rotate every single day. We have enough moves available per matchup that you can just put a new guy in that spot that's playing that night in there. And then that way you could maximize the amount of minutes and stats that your team accumulates. And by the end of the week, if you want to like add in somebody on a Sunday night or two people, that way you could capitalize on the time that you do have, which is always important. I mean, with category league fantasy, there's so much to take in. There's so much research, so much like actual basketball knowledge that is needed to be successful. It's crazy. It's not even close to the level of points leagues. If anyone tells me we're in a points basketball league, it's not the same.
And then on top of it all, ESPN does not update daily.
They don't update daily. Yeah, they don't. They really do a pretty poor job of keeping up with injuries, keeping up with these new players. Last year, we saw players playing in games that weren't even available on the waiver wire. They were literally in a game playing, getting stats, and they weren't in the system. That like shouldn't happen. It should never happen. But moving right along, appreciate you both for stepping in with the segments there. It's a huge help to me, especially in my limited time these days. And doing these podcasts, I definitely want to make sure they incorporate everybody. So I'm glad that I could hear both your thoughts, and I'm looking forward to have more of the listeners that are still tuning in with us. Having you guys on and having some segments that you guys are able to run in the future. So going forward into my homework and what I did, what I've done all through last year, and I'm going to start doing now even more so, is rankings and how each team did comparative to the rest of the league. What I do is I look at the scoreboard, I rank how every team does. Whoever had the highest field goal percentage in the league, they get number one. The lowest field goal percentage gets number 12, and so on and so forth through all the stats. As you guys are both seeing right now, I've got the week one and how everyone did. I've highlighted the team of that won the matchup, and I did some formatting so that green, or really dark green, means they were better and really dark red means they were terrible. So I think having that formatting is a good way to tell the picture of what happened, especially when you compare both weeks against each other. So on the left in the spreadsheet, I've got week one, everything here. And you scroll down, I've got week two. And then on the right side, I took each team's stats from both of those weeks and put them right up against each other. So now we can start to tell a story of what does this team look like? What are they good at? What are they bad at? And I think it's important for the entire league to know what their team is good at, what they're bad at, and being able to identify it, what they need to improve, who they can trade, like who is someone that they have on their team that's not fitting their mold, because that's just going to increase the competitive level of everybody all around. So starting from the top, John Castell Don't, run by Shokan. It's been a tough start to the year for him. He's, 0-1-1, guys, right? He got the tie last
week. With me.
Yeah, yeah, the first tie of the year. We don't see that too often. So Shokan's having a rough start, but I don't think his team's overall that bad. We saw him get eighth in field goal percentages both weeks. He's really good in free throws, second in week one and first in week two. Where he struggled was 3 points, rebounds, and assists. So, Shokan, you're 12th in three-pointers in week one and ninth in week two. Rebounds, you've been 12th both weeks. And assists, you've been 11th.
Blocks are, aren't that great either.
Yeah, blocks aren't that great either. 11th and 10th. So, Shokan, you're looking at a good free throw shooting. Good at turnovers, pretty good at turnovers. You're decent in field goals, and points. You made an improvement. You jumped from rank 11 to rank 5. So you're, and then what I do with all these numbers is I average them all together for the week total. So you, as a week, you averaged a rank of 9. Week two, you average rank of 7.8, and then I did an overall. So you're 8.4. League average obviously would be a 6, right? I mean, I guess that sounds, it sounds kind of right.
Something like that. If we did it statistically correct.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to think of it as like 6. If you're better than 6, then you're doing really well. If you're lower than 6, then not so much. I had a decent week. I'm looking at a strong field goal percentage. I don't know what to think about free throws. I went from 12 to number 2. Same thing with rebounds. I went from 3 to number 11. It's kind of the story with a lot of these teams so far is like the performance of week one compared to week two kind of flips on its head sometimes. So it's hard to guess. But overall, I think what I did with my draft of having big men really fits the mold and what I've got so far. And so I've narrowed down the categories that I need to improve. Moving ahead to Blake Griffin. He's been actually one of the best teams in the league with Kappa. Really strong field goal percentage, really strong rebounds. You had a great week two turnaround and assists, and your defensive stats have been very strong. So I'm definitely seeing Kappa as a strong contender later down the road. Kootz, you've had some struggles early. Kootz is what, 0-2? Neither of you guys are correcting me, so it's probably right.
let me take a look.
Free throws are low. Three-pointers are low. You've been very good at assists and actually pretty good in blocks and limiting the turnovers. Definitely look to improve those steals. Points could definitely get a little boost. Maybe a guy that maybe a Joe Harris, maybe a Duncan Robinson, someone who's good at free throws, good at three-pointers, and gets the points on it too. Could be a move.
Hit me up, Kootz. Hit me up.
Yeah, could be a move. Best team so far, Shiokuts Inc. by the numbers, actually, averaging a 4.8 overall for both weeks, which is very high. You first overall in field goal percentage in week one, first overall in three-pointers week two, first overall in steals week two, and you're second in turnovers and points one of the weeks. You've had a lot of like fours. What I would look to improve with you guys is assists and rebounds. You probably already know this already. Both good managers and keep good track of your team.
Sure. Fletch, I feel like that's almost, that I would consider that they're pumped. You know what I mean? If we were talking before, you have two to four categories that you know that you're not doing well in.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't even consider rebounds and assists, and they're trying to get, maybe more consistent field goal or free throw percentage.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, punt on the assists. Maybe punt on rebounds if you want to. I would look to strengthen blocks. Turnovers went down in week two. Let's keep an eye on it. Field goal percentage went down in week two. Keep an eye on that too. Schroeder's cat, Garrett, you've taken a look at the numbers already. Had a tough go of it so far, my man. Tough go.
Yeah.
Assists, 12th and 11th. Steals, 10 and 12. Blocks, 10 and 12. Points, 12 both weeks. But you've had good times too. Like turnovers, you're low in. I think that also could be attributed in the amount of moves you've made. You haven't made that many, so you might not be having as many players play.
I guess that's possible, yeah, too.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So there are just less opportunities for turnovers, so that's why it's so low. Hanuel has surprised me. I don't know about you guys, but Team Henny, even though he's 1-1, I still think he's like got a good team so far. Really, really strong in three-pointers. Had a good improvement week two with field goal percentage. The category I would look to punt would be your steals. You were 12th in week one and 7 in week two. I made an improvement in blocks. Another one that's where it's like, I don't know what to talk about or what the story is. 11th in week one and 3 in week two. Is your team good at blocks? Are they bad at blocks? We don't know. And same thing with points. You're 10th in points and then 3 in points. I don't know what to say there. but overall, Haniel averaging a 6.1. Love to see the growth from the Rook. Next on,
I was going to say, I think Henny is, I think he's third or fourth in terms of overall points too.
Yeah, and the overall score, he's definitely up there. Lowest or highest or best ranked team right now is Shiu Kutsing with a 4.8. Next, you got Kapo with a 5. After that, it's Ian Gallimay with a 5.1.
Yeah.
And Joe Ingles Pringles with a 6. And then
so he's a little further down than I thought.
And but then, yeah, it's, I mean, still up there. Top 5.
Yeah.
That's great. I think for Haniel, you should be patting yourself on the back right now. That's a win. But it's still early, so don't pat yourself too much. Next on, Data Tatum. I think overall, he's got a middle of the road team, strong in turnovers. He made it a big improvement in steals, going from 11th to 4th. Rebounds is definitely a category I look to punt. You've been in 10th both weeks. Field goal percentage definitely dropped off from 5th to 10th. The first week is also so hard to judge because there's only 5 days. Did you guys notice that?
It was kind of weird that they set it up that way. I would have expected maybe more so an extended week instead of a short week.
Right. I was kind of expecting that too, like do the week and a half scenario. I think we had that last year, actually, which was weird. But yeah, Data Tatum, JP definitely looked to improve free throw, assists. I think you have opportunity there to make some and strive in the top 5. And blocks too. You're 7th in week one and 8th in week two. So I think you get those at least in the top 6, you are going to win half your matchups with that. Next up, Ian's team. So good. Ian's team averaged a 4.1 in week one and then a 6 in week two. Little bit of a drop off, but still overall with an average of 5.1 is really good. He's first in blocks both weeks. Steals, he was 2nd in week two. First and 2nd in rebounds. Definitely look to punt the three-pointers category. Free throws also kind of fallen off. You're 6th in week one, 11th in week two. But still, a quality team for Ian so far. We're down to our final three. Bluu's team, Ball in the Family. you got to look to punt, field goals, and turnovers, my man. But you had a lot of categories that were really good. Points, fourth in week one, first in week two. Top five in both weeks for steals. Top five for both weeks in three-pointers. Overall, with an average of 6.2, BYU's got a solid team, chugging right along. Definitely an improvement from last year. Next up is Joe Ingles Pringles. Interesting flip for Joe. He's kind of gone from full big men to lots of guards this year. The categories really show it. So field goal percentage, that's going to be what you're looking to punt. You're 12th in week one and 11 week two. You're top five in three-pointers made, top five in assists for both weeks, top five in blocks and steals. You're second week one and sixth in week two. I think there's an opportunity there to make improvement. And points, you're just on the edge of the top five for five in week one and seven in week two. So overall average of six overall, solid start for Joe so far. Finally, Hebrew Hammer. Benny, I'm sure you could talk about this just as well as anybody. Field goals, free throws, turnovers, that's where it's going wrong so far. Pick one or two of those to punt and try to improve the third. I think it would be too close to try to pull out a 6-3 win every single week.
I agree. And if you actually look at my team, I can't pull it up on the app right now. I have like five guys shooting under 40%. That's not going to last. I mean, Jalen Green, it might last, but like Jaren Jackson's shooting 35%. I mean, that's absurd. So I'm really not reading too much into any of that yet. But yeah, it's definitely a concern. I can't punt on three. I did plan on punting turnovers, but I did not plan on punting field goal percentage and free throw percentage. So
yeah,
we look to improve there.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure that's a lot of the story with some of these other teams as well. The slow starts by certain players might be weighing you down more than they will later on in the season. So I think it's a good way to get an idea of the numbers, just so everyone kind of has a starting home base moving forward. But overall, I mean, exciting year so far. I think, like you said, Garrett, or I think we've talked about before, where there's still opportunities of the waiver wire to be really important as we get through the year. There's a lot of guys that might not be getting nap minutes now that could get them later down the road. Any targets either you guys are thinking? Benny shaking his head no. Garrett, any targets moving forward?
I got targets, but I'm not.
You're not giving them up?
I think we've set the standard that we don't talk about our targets here. What are your targets, Fletch?
Yeah, Fletch, what are your targets?
I'll give you some targets. I've got no problem.
We all know about Ian's pre-draft targets because he freaking
– Yeah, we all got notifications about that. Oh, actually, let's touch on that. How do you guys feel about you can see who's interested in what players? You can – like – when you have a player on your team, then you can see exactly what teams, but when they're on the waiver wire, you just see two teams interested or three teams interested.
Does it say that?
It does. Like I'm looking at Killian Hayes right now. I'm interested in Killian Hayes, just so everyone knows. I think that with Detroit, they're not good. They're not going to be good. They're not playing for a playoff spot. Why are they continuing to throw out veteran players? Why are you not developing your young guys? I think at some point in the season, they're going to play Killian Hayes more than 22 minutes.
My question is, will he be good in this?
Right, moment? Which is a very, very valid question. Will he be good? That's why I'm just interested in keeping an eye on
him. He's one of three teams that are interested, Benny. Come on.
Right. And so looking at him now, there's three teams interested, which kind of drives the urgency on these pickups. Maybe that's why we've been seeing so many moves so far.
Listen, I'm going to start saying I'm interested in bad players so that people pick them up. I want to drive the momentum to trash players. Yeah.
You know what? That's a good strategy, but you just have to ignore your watch list.
Just be like, oh, Jonathan Kuminga is looking quite nice.
Yeah. wouldn't recommend that, but if you want to go for it, sure. I'm just not going to trust anything that I see you're interested in.
Wait, it says who is interested in them?
When the player's on your team, you can see what teams are interested.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I feel like I like that. That seems like a feature that makes sense. It's like, okay, those people are probably willing to make a trade. Being able to see that there's, you know, five other teams looking at a waiver wire guy, that breeds anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're going to start making picks, pickups that just might not actually end up being good. And it's like, you really have to love the guy, I think, to pick him up if you're going to be doing that.
I'm ignoring that. I'm ignoring the justice because I personally.
You might lose your guy. Yeah, you might lose him.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just going to keep a mental list or put it on my notes app or something.
And one thing I wish they did for fantasy basketball is like the Watson IBM stuff they do for fantasy football. They've gone so far in depth with that. Like, I think it's too much sometimes, but what's interesting is like new this year, they have this Watson trade. It's basically what you do in 2K. You just like create trades and you can shoot them out. Usually the trades are garbage that it thinks of, but it's at least something that I'd be interested in having in fantasy basketball. I wish ESPN put as much effort in fantasy basketball as they did in fantasy football, because it's clear football is their number one priority.
Of course. Like, I think, that fantasy football is also, I feel like it, like we talked about, like it doesn't take the as much mental power as, you know, as checking, the status of every player. It's like, you can't even get enough information from the team websites if people are going to play or not.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Well, basketball is a more intelligent sport, and the players too, because they don't bang their heads together constantly. So it all makes sense.
No mushy brain over here.
No mush brain.
I think like going back to what we were talking about, when a player is on your team and teams are interested, Anthony Simons right now, I'm going to expose these two teams. Shiokuts Inc. and Mamba Mentality are interested in him. I can see that they are, and I can view their roster. So I think that's interesting to like make trades, because we only had like two trades last year.
I think they were with me and Shiokuts Inc.
Yeah. And Joe had one with Shokan. I'd like to see more trades.
And that ended up being a good trade for Shokan too. It was what he traded Westbrook when he was down, and he ended up being great the rest of the year.
Yeah, that was an incredible trade.
So those trades can help too. Garrett, you can always trade people too.
Yeah, speaking of trades and Garrett, Vucevic, you taking him or what?
I need time to think about it. This is scary.
Time? Like, you only have 2 days.
I'll take tomorrow.
It expires. It expires on the 6th at 8:45 a.m. Garrett,
can we hear the trade? You know, this will be one of the parting
parts
of
the podcast. For DeAndre Ayton,
straight up.
I have DeAndre straight up, which same round pick, only 3 picks apart. I was holding out. Vucevic's field goal percentage is abysmal compared to DeAndre Ayton's. Yeah. And that's one of the categories that I'm doing okay in. I was 4th in the first week and 7th in the second week. It's one of those categories that I might be able to stay afloat in. And, you know, Ayton is shooting, 60% from the field. It's kind of like one of those things. I know I'll get some assists out of Vucevic. Maybe one less board a game or something like that isn't terrible. Probably not too much of a difference in points. It's just like, do I want to give up the 60%, which is uplifting my field goal percentage, versus, you know, the few assists, which I'm not sure will make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And with Vucevic, I am a little weary on him, I guess. I think I reached for him in early second round. He probably should have been like a later second round guy, I think. His field goal percentage is low. Yes, definitely. But he's a career like 47% shooter.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna go up. It's gonna go up. He gets three.
It's gonna go up.
Really good. Yeah, it's gonna go up.
But my hesitancy is that I think Ayton probably has a big hand in my field goal percentage being where it's at, because I probably have a bunch of guys that are at 48%. I don't have it in front of me.
I think Ayton shoots then 60%.
60, yeah.
Insane.
I think he averaged 61 last year.
Yeah, so, which is crazy. Crazy. Vucevic, his field goal percentage is going to go up. He's a solid free throw shooter for a big man. He gets the three, he gets some threes, which is nice, an out of position stat. He gets a lot of assists, actually. That's another thing that's out of position for a big man. I want more defensive stats. My team has not been great on the defensive end so far, and I feel like it's an easy category to get. I mean, I picked up Mitchell Robinson in the draft just to get the blocks, and he hasn't really turned out much either. I think I would like also put Mitchell Robinson on the trade block, just if anyone else is interested. I think overall the number of trades this year is going to increase because of this availability to see who's interested in players.
I'd be willing to put a wager on if Benny makes a trade or not. He's very anti-trade.
I'm not gonna make a trade. Don't even offer.
Yeah, I would put the betting odds at +1,000 that Benny makes a trade.
Yeah, that's,
you'll get an argument for me. You know, this is my mindset on trades. And Garrett and Mark know it, because Mark, we have another fantasy football league that we're in, and he keeps trying to fleece us in trades.
Once a week.
The mindset is, I think for most of them, is you're trying to get the better of the other guy. You think you know something that the other person doesn't. Mm-hmm. That's the whole point. You know, it's not like we're running an actual team where chemistry matters and there's like development. It's pure stats and what you think that player is going to do. Mm-hmm. So if someone's offering me a trade in fantasy, I'm like, well, okay, so you think that my player is going to be better than the one that you have now. I mean, sometimes that's not always the case, because, you know, in a league like ours, it's categories. So you might be weak in a category and have a lot of strength in one, and you'll sacrifice some of that strength to improve the other one. But in like a points fantasy football league, you know, that's not the case. So I think that mindset shifts a little bit for fantasy basketball. So I would not say it's 100% chance in their trades in fantasy basketball, but yeah, if you're in a fantasy football league with me, chances are, unless my team is ass, which it is in the league, I'm in one of the leagues I'm in this year, and I did make a trade. But other than that, I will not be making a trade. So,
yeah. And
Benny's team just has to get really bad.
Yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. Like, overall, with trades, your initial reaction should be no. Like, as soon as you see the notification on your screen, you should, in your head, say no, and then take a second look.
That's why I'm waiting till tomorrow, Fletch.
Yeah, all right. You should just accept it now, because Vucevic is about to pop off, Garrett. So I'm giving you gold.
See, this is what every person who proposes a trade says. Like, oh, it's like, you know, he's not doing well now, but, you know, I want your player that's doing well now who will continue to do well. And you could take this guy who is kind of sucking right now, but, you know, he's going to get better.
Right. Exactly. I'm selling you on a player that's going to improve.
But will he be better than Ayton? That's the
Ayton's gonna Garrett, Ayton's gonna be awful. I think he's actually gonna break his leg in January. So
break his leg in January.
Yeah. The betting odds, I'm gonna set that betting odds at -250 that DeAndre Ayton breaks his leg and cannot play basketball for the rest of his life. So you better trade with me right now, or else you're doomed.
All right, I accept.
Nice.
Nice. Convinced me.
Did the trade live on the podcast. Well, if you guys are still listening, appreciate it. It's been.
I would be shocked.
I know.
If you're still listening, I love you. I don't.
They probably will. I kind of like this format a little bit better. This one's a little like way more free flowing than any of the other podcasts that I've done. I think that's like my goal for this year, is to not make it so like question, answer, question, answer, question, answer. Like,
and
let's just talk.
And I agree. And I think, you know, I don't think it's official, but I think, you know, we'll see how it ends up happening. But I think the tentative plan are weeks that Fletch is not able to do a podcast from now on. Garrett and I will fill in his shoes and have our own sesh because, you know, life is busy. Work is busy. There's a lot going on and we all have a lot going on. So, you know, look at, you know, just, we don't know how many, but there'll be a few special episodes with Garrett and I at the helm. So look forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's good to set the table now. I also wouldn't be opposed with other members of the league that want to host a podcast. Like, feel free to let me know. Like, feel free to join the family. I'll give you the login. I'll show you how to do Audacity. I'll show you how to do the editing. Like, if you want to come in and help out and have this be a community podcast, fuck yeah. Like, why?
Fuck yeah. Unless it's Mark. Mark's not allowed to host.
He's not. And the heart of the podcast will always be Fletch and his $30 mic.
Yes, you know, you really dropped the bells on that one.
It's worth it. It's worth it. I think everyone listening to this today will agree with me that this quality, this sound.
They're going to be like, wow, Fletch sounds incredible. Garrett and Benny, though, garbage.
For context, Garrett's using AirPod Pros, and I'm using the headphones that Apple gives you, or they used to give
the
you.
Wired ones.
The wired ones. Because, yeah, you know, I don't have AirPod Pro money.
Yeah, so let us know. We'll create a poll who had the best audio quality.
Comment below, subscribe. We're live. Apple Music, Spotify, Audacity, Stitcher, YouTube, everything. We're coming live. NBA
Follow me on Instagram at Benny Levinson.
Benny's Finsta one time by accident.
It was a fitness account. And
fitness account, sorry.
It wasn't Benny is soft. No, you're welcome to look it up. I don't use it anymore. No, it's dormant. It's
still active, though.
I'm still soft. It's still active. That hasn't changed.
Obviously.
Yeah. Still, yeah. Okay. Sounds like a good a time as any to end the pod, I think.
No.
Shitting on my.
I think we could milk out like 25 more minutes of
this. I think we're good.
I don't think I'm. No.
No. For everyone's sanity, I mean, this would be nice for the drive into work tomorrow for everybody, but for everyone's sanity, I think it's a good time to wrap up.
What level of narcissism is required to listen to yourself on a podcast? Because I think the first time I did it, I listened to like a quarter of the episode. It was really bad. It might even
the first time through, I would say like a 6. If you listen to it more than once, 10.
That's something.
Fletch, it's different. You record them all. I guess when you host it might be a little bit different. I might not listen to this. Like, I lived it. I don't need to listen.
Yeah, you lived it. You don't need to.
I don't need to hear any more from Garrett. Sorry, Fletch, continue.
No, you're good. Also, I have to listen to them over again. Like, I won't listen to the full thing when I edit. I'll, like, skip through, and I can see when there's dead air. So I'll, like, skip to that part, maybe cut, like, a second or two out and just shorten it. But I think in your first podcast you've ever recorded with somebody, like if you're hyped about it and like you listen to yourself the whole way through, that's fine. I think that's completely normal. I did the same thing when I was on my buddy's podcast in his.
Well, then I completely lied. I didn't listen to half. I listened to the whole thing. So,
so like, the first time is fine. Second time you listen the full way through, okay. But like the third time, come on, like, you're getting too old for it. You lived it. You don't need to listen to yourself make the same takes over and over again.
That's true. Wait, Garrett, did you say you did?
I didn't listen to mine. The one that I did last year.
It wasn't any good. So
I know I was in Mexico. I cut out a bunch. And yeah, overall, I've heard my voice on recording before. So I'm sorry for all the listeners. It's horrible when it's recorded, in my opinion.
It sounds exactly the same.
This is fine. Everyone hates their voice on recordings. I hate my voice.
That's true. That's fair. Because you hear your voice through a vibration, so it's like my voice sounds different. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, you always sound cooler in your head.
I never said that. Let the record show. I didn't say I sound cool.
I agree with you.
Cool. Well, this has taken a turn, not so much on basketball, but glad you guys are still listening for the ones that are. Looking forward to another exciting season. We've got two teams that have shown that like they can be serious contenders. Shioku Tink and Mamba Mentality are definitely my two favorites at this point, but like we just dug through all the numbers. There's still time for teams to improve. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be trades. I really freaking hope that Kyrie gets traded or his situation clears up. Ben Simmons too. Like,
I hope Ben Simmons doesn't play a minute of basketball this year.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Benny, I know you hate him.
I just saw a shirt on Twitter that a guy was selling outside one of their games that said dickhead, and it was a picture of Ben Simmons' like face, and then he had balls for a chin. I don't think he's playing for the Sixers again.
No, he hates Philadelphia.
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right. Well, good night, guys. Thanks for coming on, and looking forward to working with the rest of the league. Let's have a great year.
Have a great year. Good night to the listeners. And
love you both.
You guys.
Love you both, and love all the listeners.
Love you guys. Thanks.